year we had a meeting
yes.
about the ordination of Bhikkhuni
yes.
in Hamburg.
Yes, yes.
It was quite a successful conference and
yes.
I was very happy. But there is no news after that.
Yes.
Have you heard anything about it?
Nothing. I think my sister over here knows everything.
Yes.
Maybe better than me. Yes, yes. Actually, Bhikkhuni ordination is not something that we don't know how to conduct.
Yes.
But Bhikkhuni ordination lineage we don't have.
Yes.
So in order to make that possible,
yes.
then my guru,
yes.
Sri Kamapa, sent Sister Palmo, Freda Bedi, to receive the Bhikkhuni ordination.
Oh, this is way back.
That is 30 years ago,
yes.
More than 30 years ago.
Yes.
And after his passing away, I try to continue in my small way. I keep on sending our nuns to receive Bhikkhuni ordination so that we can introduce this in our lineage. How to do it, everything is in the book. I have learned the book when I was about 17, 18 years old. It is two huge volumes. Vinaya, but Vinaya commentary. Vinaya in the Tripitaka, it is there.
Yes.
But even more than that, the commentary, and also we call Laglin. Laglin means how to go about, how to do it. Do a Laglin. Laglin. Laglin means how to do it, how to proceed. Who's supposed to say what, who's supposed to repeat what, and all of these things. All of that is there. So, in my mind, in my simple mind, it was so simple that when there is enough bhikkhuni who were ordained for a certain amount of year, for monk it's 10 years. For bhikkhuni, for it was certain little bit more.
12 years.
Yeah. So I don't remember exactly now because it has been a long time. So I thought it was a very simple thing. Now we have enough bhikkhuni with the proper ordained
number
as well as time.
Yes.
And the ritual we know how to do.
Yes.
So but then there seems to be all kind of conferences and all kind of discussions and all kind of letters and books and all kind of documents coming to me. So I just have to wait until, you know, everybody say okay. Otherwise, I'm not understanding something that everybody else seems to understand. So for me it is a very simple thing. But it doesn't seem to be a simple thing, so I'm very naive in a way. So therefore I just wait. We have more than enough bhikkhunis.
With long standing.
Oh
sufficient
yes,
long
yes, standing. Oh yes, yes. They were starting from 1980. So this is 2008. So with the 20 years, 15 years, 19 years, you know. And not only that, they have done 3 year, 3 month retreat. So they are even lamas already. So they are bhikkhuni as well as lamas. So far as I'm concerned, I just wait. Yes. Not because I know what is going on, I don't know what is going on. So all of you better make sure everything goes on well so that simple people like me can just do my duty. Yes.
Okay. Do we have your blessing?
It is not that, not, you don't need my blessing, you have Buddha's blessing.
Yes.
Buddha ordained the bhikkhuni first.
Yes.
So we, not only you, you, I, everyone have Buddha's blessing.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
So in Jaipur, we're going to have people from many conflict areas.
Yes.
A lot of our delegates haven't arrived yet. We have three women coming from Iraq, actually, who just arrived this afternoon.
I see.
Into the airport. We have from Iran, Lebanon, Palestine,
yes.
Cambodia.
There's one from Burma, she cannot come, she could not get visa.
Oh, and the one from Burma. We had so much trouble too getting visas for many people.
I see.
So peace work is not easy work. It seems it's easier to make trouble, but when you try to do something very pure, if there's...
To make trouble is also not very easy. Okay. There's worse aftermath. When you make trouble, there's worse aftermath. When you try to solve trouble, then there's less a negative aftermath. Less. Sometimes there is repercussions. You know? Yes. Anyway, please.
No, that's what I wanted to say. So it's going to be a gathering with many women,
yes.
Also with young people. We have 65 young people who are not here today, but they're also from many conflict regions.
Yes.
And we have religious leaders and talking about the divine feminine. So
yes.
What can the feminine qualities do to enhance peace building?
Yes.
Shift the paradigm in a different direction.
Yes.
Softer.
Yes.
We don't know, but this is what we're going to discuss.
Yes. Yes. Well, I can say a few things about that because I'm not a woman. So when I talk about women, I'm not fighting for my right. And I'm a monk, therefore I gave up my right. So I have no reason to fight for my right. I have given it up for Buddha. I have given it up for all sentient beings. They want to eat me. They want to cook me. They want to perish me. It is their choice. But I want to be beneficial and meaningful for them. I don't want to be perished for nothing. Right? So therefore, I don't fight for my right. So therefore, I can talk about women. No problem. Yeah, because I'm not a woman. Okay? By being said that, actually, in my lineage, I'm talking about Buddhism, but in my particular lineage, our main deity is Vajravrahi, which is a feminine manifestation. In Tibetan, we call it Yidam Dodje Pamo. Why our main deity is Dodje Pamo? Because every practice is to realize the primordial wisdom, Yeshi, primordial wisdom. And Vajravrahi, the feminine manifestation of the deity, represents Yeshi. And all the male deities, even they are superior to the feminine deity.
Last year we had a meeting,
yes.
About the ordination of Bhikkhuni,
yes.
In Hangul.
Yes, yes.
It was quite a successful conference, and
yes.
I was very happy. But there is no news after that.
Yes.
Have you heard anything about it?
Nothing. I think my sister over here knows everything, maybe better than me. Yes, yes. Actually, Bhikkhuni ordination is not something that we don't know how to conduct.
Yes.
But Bhikkhuni ordination lineage we don't have. So in order to make that possible,
yes.
Then my guru,
yes.
Tilkamapa, send Sister Palmo, Frede Bedi, to receive the bhikkhuni ordination.
What is it way back?
That is 30 years ago.
Yes.
More than 30 years ago.
Yes.
And after his passing away, I try to continue in my small way. I keep on sending our nuns to receive bhikkhuni ordination so that we can introduce this in our lineage. How to do it, everything's in the book. I have learned the book when I was about 17, 18 years old. It is two huge volumes. Vinaya, but Vinaya commentary. Vinaya in the Tripitaka, it is there.
Yes.
But even more than that, the commentary, and also we call Laglin. Laglin means how to go about, how to do it. Do a Laglin. Laglin. Laglin means how to do it, how to proceed. Who's supposed to say what, who's supposed to repeat what, and all of these things. All of that is there. So, in my mind, in my simple mind, it was so simple that when there is enough bhikkhuni who were ordained for a certain amount of year, for monk it's 10 years. For bhikkhuni, for it was certain little bit more.
12 years.
Yeah. So I don't remember exactly now because it has been a long time. So I thought it was a very simple thing. Now we have enough bhikkhuni with the proper ordained
number
as well as time.
Yes.
And the ritual we know how to do.
Yes.
So but then there seems to be all kind of conferences and all kind of discussions and all kind of letters and books and all kind of documents coming to me, so I just have to wait until, you know, everybody say okay. Otherwise, I'm not understanding something that everybody else seems to understand. So for me it is a very simple thing. But it doesn't seem to be a simple thing, so I'm very naive in a way. So therefore I just wait. We have more than enough bhikkhunis.
With long standing.
Oh yes. Yes. Oh yes, yes. They were starting from 1980. So this is 2008. So with the 20 years, 15 years, 19 years, you know. And not only that, they have done 3-year, 3-month retreat. So they are even lamas already. So they are bhikkhuni as well as lamas. So far as I'm concerned, I just wait. Yes. Not because I know what is going on, I don't know what is going on. So all of you better make sure everything goes on well so that simple people like me can just do my duty. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Do we have your blessing? Do we
it is not that, blessing? Not, you don't need my blessing, you have Buddha's blessing.
Yes.
Buddha ordained the bhikkhuni first.
Yes.
So we, not only you, everyone, have Buddha's blessing.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
So in Jaipur, Vijay, we're going to have people from many conflict areas.
Yes.
A lot of our delegates haven't arrived yet. We have three women coming from Iraq, actually, who just arrived this afternoon.
I see.
Into the airport. We have from Iran, Lebanon, Palestine.
Yes.
Cambodia.
There's one from Burma, she cannot come, she could not get visa.
Oh, and the one from Burma. We had so much trouble too getting visas for many people.
I see.
So peace work is not easy work. It seems it's easier to make trouble, but when you try to do something very pure, is there...
To make trouble is also not very easy. Okay. There's worse aftermath. When you make trouble, there's worse aftermath. When you try to solve trouble, then there's less a negative aftermath. Less. Sometimes there is repercussions. You know? Yes. Anyway, please.
No, that's what I wanted to say. So it's going to be a gathering with many women,
yes.
Also with young people. We have 65 young people who are not here today, but they're also from many conflict regions.
Yes.
So we have religious leaders and talking about the divine feminine. So
yes.
What can the feminine qualities do to enhance peace building? To
yes.
Maybe shift the paradigm in a different
yes.
direction, a
yes.
softer.
Yes.
Of
course.
We don't know, but what we're going to discuss.
Yes, yes. Well, I can say a few things about that because I'm not a woman. So when I talk about women, I'm not fighting for my right. And I'm a monk, therefore I gave up my right. So I have no reason to fight for my right. I have given it up for Buddha. I have given it up for all sentient beings. They want to eat me, they want to cook me, they want to, you know, perish me. It is their choice. But I want to be beneficial and meaningful for them. I don't want to be perished for nothing. Right? So therefore I don't fight for my right. So therefore I can talk about women, no problem. Yeah, because I'm not a woman. Okay? By being said that, Actually, in my lineage, I'm talking about Buddhism, but in my particular lineage, our main deity is Vajravarahi, which is a feminine manifestation. In Tibetan, we call it Yidam Dodje Pamo. Why our main deity is Dorje Pamo, because every practice is to realize the primordial wisdom, Yeshi, primordial wisdom. And Vajravarahi, the feminine manifestation of the deity, represents Yeshi. And all the male deities are even they are superior to the feminine deity, because male deities are considered king and female deities considered queen. Even though the Vajravarahi is our main deity, because male is represented as Tap, and female, Tap means matter, and female is represented as Shirap. So, Tap for what? Method for what? Method for the realization of the wisdom. Therefore, in our lineage, even Chakrasambhara is there, which is the king of the Vajravarahi, but main deity is Vajravarahi, the Shirap. Because Tap Tamchini, Shirap Tekhona Nijiishi, Mundu Chube, Tap. So all the methods are for the realization of the primordial wisdom, the ultimate truth. So therefore, our main deity is Vajravarahi, as you know very well. And of course, I'm not to mention my sister over here. And so now this way, I can speak according to the lineage, that mother's nature is to protect and nurture. Mother's nature is to cultivate and develop. Mother's nature is not to fight and destroy. Mother's nature is to nurture. And father's nature is to protect the mother And if anybody goes beyond their boundary, then smash them. That is father's nature. So lots of smashing going on. Therefore, I think father have done more than it's enough duty. So now I think it is mothers to do their duty. So I feel, naturally speaking, the mother quality, the mother power is more gentle and more more healing than rather dominating. So I think I'm not concerned about, you know, feminine movements and this and that, you know, I'm not concerned about that, you know. I don't want it to be a good guy for the, how do you call it, feminists.
Gender-oriented.
Yeah, so I don't worry about that. I'm not doing any of my things for that. If everybody likes me, don't mind. Nobody likes me, I don't mind. Anyway, I give up my life for Buddha and for all sentient beings. So that is all I really care. But practically speaking, honestly speaking, from my heart, I think the male nature and female nature is father nature and mother nature. And mother nature and father nature, when the role is played equally, then there will be harmony. And when there is too much of a mother nature, maybe everything doesn't work. And when there is too much of a father nature, then it is obviously not working that well. We have so many, you know, trigger happy, gun torturing, male energies, loose, unchecked and loose all over the world. So this way, I think it is very good that you are making the Global Peace Initiative of Women. It is mother who stand up for her children, including boys, not just for her girls, but for her boys as well. And mother standing up to protect her children. This is very good, I think. Father stood up to protect mother as well as children, but there is a limit to it. And father cannot do what mother can do. And mother cannot do what father can do. So therefore, I think now all the mothers are getting together here, you know, and mother like you, who gave up your life for Buddha, for sentient beings, you're not fighting for your right, but you wanted to exercise your capacity as a nun, as a woman, as a nun. And then others who did not give up your right for all sentient being, and you wanted to, you know, you wanted to deal with that, and you wanted to have a role, more effective role in the human society. So that when somebody is, when two persons are fighting with each other with their revolvers, and mother should intervene and say, "Hey, stop, this is not the way. What is your problem? You know? So the wife of the both men should come out and stop the fighting of these two men. And take revolvers away from their hands and let them sit down and see what is the problem. And could solve the problem on the table. I think you have that power. And I think this is wonderful. I tried to do something for world peace starting in 1984 until 1989, and it didn't really satisfy me. Therefore, I ended it with a pilgrimage for active peace around the world. That is my conclusion, because it doesn't seem to work. Maybe because I'm a man. Now, I see Global Peace Initiative of Women. You know, I have great hope. I have great hope. You will not end this with a pilgrimage for active peace, okay? Of course, I did not end everything. I still do my best. But I'm spending now 99% of my time on my religious work, which is my duty. You know, birth given, a duty from the birth, you can say, as a Tuat Pai Situ, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, which is continuation of the work of all the 11 and beyond. But I'm still doing my best wherever it is possible to contribute for world peace. By being said that, then I'd like to share one of my perception about the peace. I hear so much about peace, but I find most of the time people come together and talk about peace and go home and nothing happened. You know? And I wondered, why was that the case? Then my perception is, I could be wrong. I have the right to be wrong. But I could be wrong. But my perception was that everybody is talking about passive peace. But passive peace, when I really examined myself, I don't believe in passive peace. How can there be, you know, some kind of heaven on earth where nobody have to do anything, everybody is harmonious with everyone, everybody is happy with each other, and no problem, you know, it wouldn't happen. That is a dream, that is a fantasy. So what has to happen is, one have to actively make things harmonious as possible. And definition of peace is contentment and harmony. If somebody is not content somewhere, there will be no harmony. If there is no harmony, there will be no peace. So therefore, the active peace by definition is each one of us actively involved in doing everything that we could to solve the problem, not to create the problem. Not solve the problem. I'm sure maybe 60-70% of the time, the people who seems to be making trouble, really, they don't mean to make trouble. Maybe they are thinking that they are solving the problem. But out of ignorance, in Buddhism we say karma, because of everybody's karma, instead of solving the problem, they end up creating the problem. But 40% of the time, I personally can't help, but I believe through my, you know, limited experience in the university of life, that people are consciously, intentionally, purposely putting effort to create trouble, create problem. You know? And that is, one has to be definitely how do you say, overcome. And and those troublemakers, I don't think very few percent of them, if there's any, very few percent of them will be monks or nuns. Very few percent. If there is any, very few percent of them will be monks and nuns who are making, I'm talking about who are consciously, intentionally making trouble. So there will be men's or women's, not monks and nuns. So therefore, I think if it is a man, that man will have a wife, and that is represented by you. And if that wife of that man can somehow show the light to that man that this is not the right way, you should not make trouble. There's enough trouble in the world. There's enough problem in the world. There's enough conflict in the world. So you should not make conflict. You should solve conflict. And that way, if that 40%, I'm a pragmatic person, okay? You should realize I'm not a dreamer. I'm a pragmatic person. I grew up without father, without mother, from the age of five until the age of 28. No father, no mother, no brother, no sister. So therefore, you can see why I become a pragmatic person. I'm a pragmatic man, okay? So from the perspective of a pragmatic man, I think the 40% of the problems are intentionally created. And if one can solve that, then other 60%, the problems happened by mistake, is easy to solve. So I hope, I have a great hope for your work. And I sincerely wish to pray to Buddha, to whom I believe. And then each one of you have your own, you know, God, Allah, Jehovah, right? So many. so you can pray to all of them to come to your aid, to succeed your mission. I really believe it will make a big difference. You remember how many disciples were there first when Buddha was enlightened? Only five. So how long it has been since Prince Siddhartha attained enlightenment? Less than 2,600. Less than 2,600. So in this, his teaching influenced how many? Hundreds of millions. So each one of you here, more than five. So I think your effect will be tremendous if you really want to. If you came to discuss and go home and do nothing, then nothing will happen. But if you came here and go home and keep on doing good work with full dedication, sincerely try to solve the problem, not to create the problem. Try to solve the problem sincerely, then each one of you can make a big difference. But it's not like the time of the Buddha. During the time of the Buddha, only through his miracle, everything happened. But today, we have artificial miracle. An artificial miracle. Because first level bodhisattva can manifest in 100 places at the same time, perfectly at all times. But today, you can sit in front of a television camera and you can appear in every home who watches the television at the same time, and you can get your message across. And if each one of you doing that, how many people it will reach? And if that message is from your heart, and with due respect, not a dreamy message, not a fantasy message, but a real, practical, pragmatic, workable message, then I think it will really make a huge difference. Huge difference. And especially when it comes from the mother, there's big difference. You know, of course, it doesn't mean I give up to be a father. You know, I'm a man. I'm a monk. I'm never a father. But, you know, I'm talking about father figure. You know, father figure. The male, the father figure. So, I will never give this up. I will do my best as a man. But you should do your best as a woman. You know, we are not two different races. We are human beings. But you have the women power. I have the man power. Not only me, he, and over here, and over here, and over there standing, you know. And everyone have father power, man power. You all have, others have mother power, women power. So we all do our best, not against each other, but for each other, and together. Together, we make this world a better world. And some people who are more pragmatic than me, think it is too late. Definitely not too late. Here we are. This is the proof that it's not too late. You know? Are we suffocating? Are we dying? No. Still, we can breathe the air. Still, we can function. So, not too late. Definitely not. Yes. Yes.
Can I have one question?
Yes.
You were talking about your work that you have to continue from the 11th Kamapa before you. Is there any
11,
new work?
11 Paisidu, not Kamapa. I'm not Kamapa.
Is there any work of yourself?
Yes. Yes, of course.
That it's not continuation from the 11th
passage. I have lots of things, you know. I try to do something for world peace according to the present situation. All of these, you know, I have my own kind of thing. But my duty as the 12th passage is too big, very very big. All of the 11 Paisidu's contribution to humanity at large is enormous. So for me to somehow carry that banner is very big. And the banner is very big and wind is very strong. Yes. So I have to you know, be very strong and keep on walking with the banner, because it's too big and wind is too strong. But up to today, I think I managed. And I think I will. I will. And I will be able to leave the banner for the next.
13. Yes. Thank you very much for everything you said. As you said personally, I find it very interesting, especially somebody who is coming from the Middle East region, where we are in a way a region of many religions, and it's a region of, that has been always in contact with your part of the world. So after hearing you, I was listening to you as trying to draw lessons, what would this mean to, as women's interfaith dialogue happens, what are the lessons? Can you tell us from your experience in peace work, how was it also relating to other religions?
Actually, I can't be too loud about other religion, because I was chosen to be what I am when I was 18 months old. And I grew up learning what I have learned, Buddhism, Vajrayana Buddhism, until today. I'm 56 now. I'm still keep on learning. I don't know. I don't know even 1% of what is there to know about Buddhism. It is so much. You know, the Buddha's own word is more than this thick 100 plus volume. And not to mention thousands of volumes of commentaries and so on and so forth. So therefore, I can't say much about any other religion. When what I can say about Buddhism is also very limited. Of course, I know about Buddhism maybe more than 90% of you, maybe Venerable and my sister here, you know, brother here and sister here, maybe they know more than me, I don't know. Maybe not. So anyway, I have learned a lot. I have learned so many volumes of things. I have done months and months and months of retreat and all of that. And she had done many years of retreat, actually. In retreat, she had done twice more than I do. How many retreat you have done? How many years? All together, 12 years straight. But then in between you have done short retreats. All together add up maybe 20 years. 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. Easily. Yeah. So yeah. What? You're having fun?
Yeah, it goes very fast.
Okay. So anyway, I went into interfaith. I did so many interfaith symposiums. I participated and organized and all of that. And by discussing about each other's faith, we get nowhere. Because each one of us have to live 10,000 years in order to understand each other. You know? So I have to learn Buddhism, I have to learn Christian, I have to learn Judaism, I have to learn Islam, I have to learn Hinduism, I have to learn, you know, Zoroasters, I have to learn, you know, the Parsis, you know, all the religions, there's so much. And I need to live 10,000 years with clear mind. You know, so you get nowhere. But one thing I have learned is very simple thing, based on Lord Buddha's teaching. What did he teach first? His teaching have no limitation. But first teaching that manifested for the five disciples is Four Noble Truths. And which truth he began with? Suffering. So, this is very clear. No matter who you are, you're religious or non-religious or politician or agnostic or anything, or you're God or you are in hell. Anybody. No one likes to suffer. Everybody likes to be happy. So this is commonness, which bounds everyone. You know, you cannot find any God who likes to suffer and who don't like to be happy. You don't find any man who like to suffer, who don't like to be happy. You can't find anyone in hell who don't like to be happy and who like to suffer. Therefore, this is the commonness of the entire being, not only human being. So, how to be happy? How to overcome suffering? We cannot get happiness from outside, because outside happiness is just like a nice garden. You have to water every day, you have to weed every day, cut down the old flowers every day, and then until you die, you know, after you are dead, the garden will be dead as well, because there's nobody to tend for it. So it is like this. There's no end. There's no accomplishment. So it is the inner peace, the inner joy, inner happiness, which is everlasting. So how can one have inner joy and inner peace without a base? So for that, every sentient being's potential have no limitation. Every sentient being's potential is primordial, and it is wisdom, not ignorance. It is joy, not suffering. So in Tibetan we call it Kuntu Zangpo, or Devar Shikpe Nyingpo, or Dhen Tham Tong Nyi, or Dhen Tham Changchuk Sem. So all of these things means primordial wisdom, the limitless potential within. So the connection between this and the suffering is we don't like any limitation. Somebody can feed us well, dress us well, and make a nice bed for us, but lock us in a small room with lots of food and lots of nice bed, you know? We just thinking we wanted to escape, right? So limitation we don't like. Limitation is suffering. So when will our common drive, common interest for wishing to be happy will be fulfilled? Only when we reach the Buddhahood, according to the Buddhism. Buddhahood means you realized your ultimate limitless primordial potential, which is primordial wisdom. That means you become Buddha. That is the destination. So, whether you call it Buddha or salvation or anything you call it, it means you are free from suffering. You are free from limitation. And in this, everybody have a common ground. And another thing is, because we are so devoted to Buddha or Buddha Shakyamuni or our Muhammad or Abraham or somebody, we are so devoted to them, so we forget who they are. They are human beings. You know, they are human beings. So, the religion of every aspect is of the humanity, by the humanity, for the humanity. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Who says that there is enlightenment? Who says that there is God? Who says there is heaven? Who says that? It's a human being. Who says he heard that? Or she heard that? You may like that, yeah? So, she heard that. It is a human being. Right? So it is of the humanity, by the humanity, for the humanity. But not only for the human beings, for all sentient beings. Because as a Buddhist, we are human being right now, but my past life is supposed to be, so forget about me. So any human being, their past life can be anything. Can be a god, can be an animal, can be a ghost, can be from hell. You never know. But the I who don't like to suffer, I who wish to be happy, always continue. You know, just like now. And past and present and future in this manner. You cannot define. You try to define present, then you know you cannot define past and future. Time is relative. What is now? What is now? Today's scientific definition of now is the speed of light passing through a particle. That is now. So, we are talking, I'm talking, you're listening, but now is irrelevant because now is gone. When we say now, now is gone long time. So it is an illusion. So past life, present life, future life is also illusion. The same way, the past moment, present moment, future moment is illusion. So I really feel that all the religion we have to remember, it is coming from a human being. From a higher source, of course, but from a human being. And it is about liberating everyone from suffering and then making everyone to have peace and joy. That is what it is all about.
Do we have time for a couple of
questions from the chair? It's okay, it's okay.
Yes, I think you had one.
I have to do that, you know? I have to do that. I owe you.
Thank you.
I owe you all. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So
doesn't matter.
No, you asked already. Oh, so, okay, Leila, please.
Yes.
I'm just wondering, like, In your way, in your Buddhist way, where you call also pragmatic, you consider yourself a pragmatic Buddhist, right?
I'm a pragmatic person.
Person, okay.
Yes.
Person.
Yes.
And a Buddhist, yeah?
Yes.
So, if you were living, for example, in Gaza and confined, and you have a great military power against you, with all the media along with it, what would your way to fight? Like the first question I was asked yesterday, my Israeli, but why do Gazans throw rockets? But I know that confinement, as you said, is one of the worst limitations that can be put on a person. You can have everything, but if you're confined, if you're limited, then this is it. How would your way be? If you're
okay.
Living behind the wall with all the attacks from the world in a way.
Yes. Okay, ma'am. So, you are asking a specific question related to your region.
Yes.
I only know personally about this through television and through newspaper, and through some people like you from time to time. I really don't know exactly what is going on. You know, I really don't know, honestly speaking. So, but I can say one thing. I can say one thing. That is, no human being, you know, no sentient being, but leave all the other sentient beings alone for the time being. No human being should be suffering, and no human being should cause suffering for other human beings. No human being should be suffering, that means sickness or something like that, not caused by others. But then on top of that, no human being should cause suffering for other human beings. No human being should cause suffering for other beings, other human beings. Therefore, wherever it is, it can be in the space, it can be on earth, it can be in the east, it can be in the west, it can be from where you come from, it can be anywhere. Any human being causing suffering for other human being is not right. Not only that, any human being causing suffering for any other sentient being is also not right. Not only human being, any other sentient being. So human being causing suffering for other human beings is absolutely not right. And one have to somehow find, if there is such thing, there is all over the world, so why these sufferings are caused, you know, that has to be solved. Why somebody causes somebody suffering, that has to be solved. So in Buddhism there is a very simple answer, but I'm a pragmatic person. Therefore these answers are easy said than done. That is, nobody should be attached, nobody should be jealous, nobody should be angry, nobody should be, you know, greedy, etc., etc. But that is just a kind of, how do you say, sweet, nice thought and words. But technically speaking, everywhere in the world, not for a large number of people, but for some individuals, unspeakable suffering is caused by other human beings every moment. Even right now, at this moment, I am sure, you know, in the most unexpected places, somewhere, which is most unexpected places, some terrible things are being done to some human being by other human beings right now, I guarantee you. Not just one of them, but maybe hundreds of them all around the world. So this way, this evil is coming from the greed and hatred and ignorance of human being. You know, from somebody is doing it purposely. I told you there's 60% maybe well-intentioned by mistake, but there's 40% intentionally done. So each one has to be tackled individually. And as a Buddhist, What will I do? What will I do for some place where I cannot be there, and I have no technical connection, then what I do? I pray. I sincerely pray for all the suffering people on this planet as well as for the other planets. Human beings as well as all the other sentient beings, you know. So pray, and then if there's technically something you can do, do it. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your insights. The question I have relates to the gathering of young people that is also taking place in Jaipur. So the conference is not only bringing together women leaders from all over the world, but also young people and youth leaders also from various different continents and countries from the Gaza and from Iraq and Sudan. And one of the key questions that will be addressed is how can we be the change we want to see in the world?
How can what? Last part.
How can we be the change in the world, and how can we create the inner peace and be messengers of peace, and how can we start with ourselves? And I'd love to give it.
Well, if you wait for your inner peace to come first and do something, then you might be waiting for a long time. Maybe you already have. But you have inner peace or not, you should have the appreciation and the respect for the inner peace, and then you should do your best to help others to have inner peace. You might not have inner peace, but you might help others to have inner peace. You don't wait until you have the inner peace. You know?
Can you give what you don't have?
Excuse me?
Can you give what you don't have?
It is not that giving, it is assisting. You cannot give what you have, what you don't have. Then you have to rob a bank to give money, you know? It's not like that. It is idea and understanding which you have, but due to some of your own kind of karmic condition and weakness, you are not able to have peace within you. You know that still you can have you can help others to have peace. Definitely, you don't have to wait for that. If you have that, wonderful. So, best way to have peace within you is in Buddhism. Very simple. You just do shamatha meditation. You just sit down and relax, and breathe slowly, and focus on your breathing, so that you become calm. When you are calm, you are temporarily at peace. You know, you are calm, you are temporarily at peace. You will have inner peace temporarily. I mean few hours, maybe few days, maybe few minutes. So it depends on the situation. But you can still do things for the others. Now when you talk about young people, there's no difference between young people and middle-aged people and old people. I'm middle-aged, you know? But young people and old people and middle-aged people, there's no difference. But young people have only two things that is different from middle-aged people and old people. That is, young people have lots of energy to do lots of things. And other thing is young people have a lot to learn. young means you are late in coming to this world. Old means somebody who came here much, much long before you came here. So therefore I think young people should learn from older people about the reality of the world and the mistakes that everybody have made, and also the kind of good things that everybody have done. So wisdom of everyone, ignorance of everyone, you can learn that. And you are young, and if you want to learn, then you can speed it up. Because you don't have to wait to become old. You can be young, old person. Okay? So you can be young and mature. Not just young and immature. So you be young and mature, so that by the time you get to my age, you have done 10 times, 10 times of good things, more than 10 times of good things that I have done. because you have learned from people like us who went through University of Life. You have learned our mistakes and our knowledge and our skills and our rubbish, everything that you have learned in a short time, so that you can somehow use the good part of us. And you don't make the same mistake that we have made. So that is the true quality, true definition of the differences between young and old. And then, of course, you have lots of energy, so you can do lots of things. Yes. And definitely, you are the future leader. Whether we like you or not. Because we will be gone, you know. So we will be gone and the world will be left for you guys. So you all have to run this world. So you better be capable. And you better learn from us. Okay? And this is a very good opportunity. There's lots of mothers and fathers from whom you can learn. This time in Jaipur. Let Jaipur be a glorious place for you. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
เราตั้งใจที่จะให้การศึกษากับผู้หญิงที่จะออกมาทำงานกับโลกด้วยหัวใจของการเป็นแม่เราอยากให้ท่านให้กำลังใจกับเราซึ่งกำลังจะทำการศึกษาที่เป็นการศึกษาที่จะทำให้ผู้หญิงบรรลุธรรมเพราะเราเชื่อว่าถ้าผู้หญิงได้เข้าใจความเป็นจริงของชีวิตก็จะเข้าใจความเป็นผู้หญิงไม่ว่าจะอยู่ในเพศชายหรือเพศหญิงที่เป็นคนที่เขาจะต้องเข้าไปให้โอกาสในการที่จะเปิดประตูสติปัญญาเราอยากให้ท่านให้กำลังใจกับงานของสาวิการสิขาลัยซึ่งเป็นการศึกษาที่เราจะทำให้ผู้หญิงได้มีโอกาสที่จะใช้ชีวิตเพื่อการศึกษาที่ส่งเสริมให้เกิดการบรรลุธรรมค่ะ
Right now in Thailand, as she's running the center, and she thinks that a woman is a very helping a lot of impact in society, and she would like to give empower to the woman by giving education about life on basis of Buddhism for them to get to the enlightenment. And she's having an institute called Savika Sikhala Institute.
How?
Institute.
Yeah, institute.
Yeah, called Savika Sikhala Institute, which is the University for Life.
Oh, University of Life.
Yeah.
Okay, I went to the University of Life. Yes.
Yeah. We have the university that offers the master and also focusing on the practice so that the women can get education about the Buddhism until they get enlightenment, so it can be served for the society as well. So she would love to give encouragement for having the institute because she's just been studying it.
No problem. If your institute is, I give you one advice. Not advice, I mean, I will share you one of my experience. If institute is small, so many problems. Don't even try. Make it big. Because the size will take care of itself. Yes. If you have only 50 person, big problem. But if you have 5,000 people, no problem. Yes. Because 5,000 people take care of the problem of each other. Yes, you just have to have, you have to sit back, don't be personal, and it is for them, it is for Buddha, it is for all sentient beings, it's not for you. You are not stupid. Why do you want to take care of 5,000 people? For what? You know, they can take care of themselves, right? So it's nothing personal. So you sit back and supervise them. It is not for you. It is for all sentient beings. It's for them. It's for Buddha. And therefore, make it big. Don't make it small. Make it big as possible. then it will take care of itself. If you have only 50 women in your institute, you have big 50 problems that you have to deal personally. Yes? It's my experience, yes. Yes, yes. So all the best, okay? And my prayer for all of you is that may each and every one of you have a very good health. So with very good health, you can do lots of good things. Then with very good physical health, there is also extra prayer needed for very good mental health. Because when physical health is good, mental health take back seat. That is no good. So your physical good health and mental good health should go together. So you're mentally fit, physically fit, and you will be able to do lots of things. And your motivation is good. I'm a pragmatic person. Therefore, I say I am 99% sure your motivation is good. I will leave the 1% there so that you can work on it to make it better. Therefore, you live long, and you make your work such a way that it will be left for the next generation. You don't hold on to it for you. It is for all the future generations to come. Okay. So may the great mother, Vajravrahi, great mother, Tara, as well as great father, Chakrasambhara, Avalokiteshvara, may all of them bless you.